A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
On DAB Plus, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. This is the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Yeah, very good afternoon to you. Welcome along to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 and our IPL 2020 final watch-along. The Delhi Capitals won the toss and elected to bat. They posted 156 for 7, having been 22 for 3 in the fourth over. The Mumbai Indians reply well underway and they are looking good. 117 for 2 in the 15th over. The former England fast bowler Steve Harmison is once again with us here on TalkSport 2 and our cricket editor John Norman here as well as we take you through the final stages. We'll tell you about all the stories, we'll be discussing the best players in this year's competition, we'll pick our teams of the tournament, and we'll have all the other big issues as well, including Steve Harmison's stinky head. It's the IPL final watch-along show here on TalkSport 2. Well, look, congratulations to the Mumbai Indians. They are the winners of the tournament. They've knocked off the 157 they needed, 5 down, and they've done it with the 8 balls to spare. Just to recap what we were saying earlier, Steve, in fairness, they were ahead of the game from the very outset. And in fact, the one thing I sort of made a note earlier, the first 5 overs and the last 5 overs for the Mumbai Indians in the Delhi Capitals innings were absolutely massive. After the first 5 overs, the Delhi Capitals were 35 for 3. And in the last 5 overs, the Mumbai Indians took 39 for 3. That is a massive, massive... You know, that is half of your innings gone. And it's the time that you're trying to get off to a good start and also then finish on a high as well. And the Mumbai Indians took care of Delhi Capitals in both parts of it.
I couldn't agree more, and that's exactly what I've got written in front of me. I thought you'd taken a picture of me notes here and you've pinched them, but I've literally got first 5, last 5 overs could be the difference between win and losing. That was the opening bit because of how well Mumbai went and also how well they went with the first 5 of the batting as well. When you are chasing, I wouldn't say it was a modest total. You know, 156 is not a modest total by any stretch of the imagination. But I think in 2020 terms, especially IPL final, pitch is getting better second half than it was first half. You'd think you'd chase that down any day of the week. You'd, if you were offering to either side second innings, you'd say, yes, I'd love that. And the first thing you've got to do is put a hole in it from the very, very start. Quentin de Kock and Rohit Sharma did exactly that. Kagiso Rabada, for me, probably one of the bowlers of the tournament. His first over, 2 fours, 2 boundaries from Quentin de Kock. And it just set the tone. It set the ball rolling for Mumbai and one that they never really got. Once they got into sort of fifth over, they stuck it in third gear and just cantered to the finish. And, you know, fair play to them. Congratulations to them. They've been the best side of the tournament. Doesn't always win, but I think it has on this occasion, and I think it just shows the difference between Mumbai Indians and everybody else. And you're talking about football just there. It's probably like it was in the Premiership last year between Liverpool and Manchester City and everybody else in the Premier League. That's how far Mumbai have raised the bar. And like John mentioned before, when we come to the auction, it's going to be interesting to see who goes for who, because that gap has got to be filled. I think the auction is a two or three year cycle, so teams have to get on the board, especially somewhere like CSK. And it would not surprise me if some of the England players come into the reckoning at that franchise.
You mentioned the pitch actually a minute ago, and there have been a couple lately that looked a little bit tired, but they clearly kept a couple back for the knockout stages. I have to say, I thought this was an absolute belter. There was plenty in it early on, good carry as well, and actually it was a good cricket wicket. There was a bit in it for everyone, and frankly, that's what you want. You don't want the batsman basically being like golfers, taking the big stick out on the first tee and just lashing it to all parts. There's got to be something in it for the bowlers, and actually there was in this strip.
There was definitely, and there always is with a brand new white ball for maybe 10-12 balls. There is something, especially in the warm conditions of the UAE. And fair play, there's been a lot of credit to mentioned on, especially on the TV commentary, about how good it was from the likes of Sourav Ganguly and people like that from the BCCI to get this tournament on and to get this running and to put a spectacle on. But yeah, fair play to the ground staff as well, because the three pitches, in my opinion, have been absolutely belters, all three of them. The only one that I really think has deteriorated, now if you've got to pick one from three, that was Sharjah. You know, the scores come down. I thought the pitches got a bit slower and lower, but because of the size of the ground being so small, I don't think it really had like a huge effect on the tournament, because of I think because of the ground so small, you it got away with it from a scoring point of view. So yeah, you know, fair play. It's been a magnificent tournament and the worthy winners. And if I was England bowler, any one of them England bowler and seam bowlers are thinking, if we're not going to India next year and we are playing India in Dubai and in Abu Dhabi, can I have a pitch like this, please? Because if I get one like this, I've got a good chance of getting a few wickets, especially in that 40-degree heat I'm going to be playing in.
And all season long, the Mumbai Indians have been head and shoulders above every other team. And now the defending champions are champions once again of Dream 11 IPL 2020. Back-to-back titles for Rohit Sharma and his men.
Yeah, that was the moment a few moments ago where the Mumbai Indians secured their fifth IPL title, their first as back-to-back champions, and of course doing it in the UAE with the final in Dubai behind closed doors with only a few team owners and family and friends in attendance. So not the normal sort of ticker tape parade. There were fireworks going around the ring of fire as the winning runs were hit. But the Mumbai Indians are now going through the process of doing all the interviews and celebrating. But it's bizarrely low-key. Steve Harmison is, of course, still with us here on TalkSport 2, as is our cricket editor, John Norman. It's an interesting one, this, as a player's point of view, Steve, because you want to celebrate. You've worked properly hard for 6 or 7 weeks, maybe 8 weeks or so, if you've been one of the players there for the whole tournament and all of that. It's kind of difficult to know how to pitch the celebration, because when you're one of a very few people actually in the ground, you look a bit of a berk if you go too hard, don't you?
A little bit, but I think you celebrate because obviously you've the hard work that you've put in. I think that's the only part of this tournament where the crowd has been missed. I think, you know, as much as the IPL is great and you always want the crowd in and it's fantastic to play in front of all these people, but I think the skill level and the performance level has gone up a notch because of crowds not in, and we mentioned that before. But at this time, if you could just drop a crowd in, or you drop these guys into Mumbai for a split second to see the party and what it means to the people of Mumbai, then I think then you'll see a proper celebration. But at this moment in time, it is a little bit subdued because of the surroundings that's in. I'll go back to 2005, Ashes in the Oval. And I think John, you were there. We got told in the dressing room, I've been very critical of the ICC and the umpires because of this. And I've said it many, many times and wrote it many, many times that we got took off and we got to find out that we had won the Ashes inside the dressing room. And it was fantastic. You know, 7.5 weeks of pure toil against the best team in the world. But we have got 20-odd thousand people outside, and we have just been told we've just won the Ashes in a dressing room. And it was not an anti-climax, but it was a little bit subdued. When we went outside, it went ballistic, it went off, and then you realise what sort of celebrations you could have. But for that split second when we won, It was just a little bit flat because of, well, I thought we got cheated a little bit.
Sorry, I'm just giggling because I'm watching the TV monitor.
I've just seen that, yeah.
The players are giving an interview and the owner's just wandering over and interrupting and having a chat. She was like, you won, don't worry. Oh, dear. And actually, that, I was going to come on to that later, but the ownership of the Mumbai Indians put in an absolute fortune. But just putting in a fortune doesn't guarantee you success. We see this in so many sports. Actually, their recruitment is tremendous. Look at this team they put out today. Rohit Sharma, Quentin de Kock, Surikumar Yadav, Ishan Kishan, Kieran Pollard, Hardik Pandya, Krunal Pandya, Nathan Coulter-Nile, Trent Bolt, Giant Yadav, Jasprit Bumrah. I mean, Michael Vaughan put on Twitter earlier this afternoon that if you put that 11 into the World Cup T20, it would win. That's how good it is. And you can certainly see where he's coming from.
Mahail Jayawardena as well. You know, he's a new
coach.
From a coaching point of view, you've got to look at the coaching system that they've got there and the players that they've got and they've had around. Like I said before, they've only used 15 players, and two out of them 15 have only played one game each in Kulani and Yadav. So it's been a team. Don't say it's been a squad effort. They haven't got a massive, massive squad. And they've only used five overseas players. They haven't used Rutherford. They haven't used Chris Lynn. And they haven't used Mitch McLennan. So it just shows you, not only have they played well, you know, they've stayed quite fit, stayed to the game plan. And they've not, to be fair, they've looked head and shoulders better than anybody else. The balance of the side, the spin option at the right times, the death bowling's unbelievable. And going into this game, you know, there was always something going into this game when you look at it. In three games, there was 11 wickets in the power play taken by Bolt and Bumrah against Delhi alone. So, you know, it just tells you how they've got all bases covered.
Rahul Chahar didn't get on the field today. He wasn't picked for the final. He's played in every game up until today. And actually, he's being interviewed at the moment. It looks like he's actually gone out and got a nice new sharp haircut that he wasn't actually given the chance, which maybe implies that he didn't know he was going to be in the side. But sometimes, Steve, you've got to have that element of ruthlessness that you've got. Look, they bring in an off-spinner because there's a lot of left-handers in the opposition lineup. You know, that's the lack of sentimentality that is actually required to win tournaments. You can't just say, well, you've played every game up until now, therefore you are, you know, you deserve to play in a final. If you're not there to do a job, then you don't need to be there.
Exactly, and it's a well-oiled machine. You talk about, you know, the owner coming on before. I think they took over, they bought a hotel for the players to get, and we talked about it yesterday, or it might have been last week, talked about the off-field having the right balance in these bubbles. We've also got to have a ruthlessness when you're selecting sides and there's no sentiment. And Yadav came in, and what did he do? He got out Shikhar Dhawan, who's been one of the best openers of the tournament. So I think they were vindicated by bringing the off-spinner in against the left-handers. But I agree with you. If you're Chahar, you've got a nice new haircut, 15 games into the tournament, 15 wickets in, thinking, right, I'm going to get an IPL winner's final medal. And unfortunately, he gets a tap on the shoulder off Mahail Jayawardena on the morning and say, sorry, I've got too many left-handers in here for you. You're not going to play. How gutsy is that from a management point of view, and how devastating is it from a player's point of view? It is a difficult one to comprehend, but when you've got the nice gold shiny trophy at the end of it, you know, you as a group and a team, you think, right, you know, best selection and we won the game.
I mean, John Norman, our cricket editor, is still with us. John, just to bring you in here at this point, you know, we're talking about the squad that Mumbai have built. And actually, in a sport where you have the auction and all that kind of stuff, there's a real lesson to be learned about the players that you can pick up and actually putting together
a team and putting together a bunch of players that works as a cohesive unit. There are a lot of examples, not just in cricket, but in many sports around the world, of maybe chief executives or owners who maybe get a little bit excited and try and go for huge names because they wanted to be associated with that player. And that doesn't always work. You know, we're going to see it with the 100, with the draw, you know, the auction that's taken place there. You actually have to approach this with, you know, a sort of a sensible, clear mind of, right, what kind of cricket do we want to play? Where are we going to be playing our games? And what's the best team to get the result of that?
Yeah, and I think that the IPL, if you put it up alongside all the other tournaments, domestic T20 tournaments and world cricket, are the league leaders in terms of putting in place a franchise system which rewards loyalty. It's about building teams now. What are we, year 14 of the IPL? They've made their, they've learnt their lessons the hard way. They've made many of the teams that we've seen in the IPL over the years have based selection on the whim of a rich owner, on the fortune of the last game of cricket that that was played, on icon players that are maybe a couple of years past their best, or even iconic players who've never actually learned how to do the do's in the shorter format of the game. As T20 cricket progresses, you see that less and less. Makes things a little less interesting, although anybody who was watching the Lankan Premier League the other week, when that was going...
Come on, John, you know we all were.
Well, look, for those of you who weren't, the Lankan Premier League is about the 15th attempt that Sri Lanka have made to put on a domestic T20 competition that will attract the same kind of players you see everywhere else. I think one of the players that was selected was a New Zealander who had pulled out of the tournament 2 weeks previously. So that just shows you there is still shambolic selection. There's still shambolic reasoning behind T20 cricket, but you find it less and less in the IPL. And you only have to look at Mumbai Indians, Rajasthan Royals. These are teams that may only have the players playing for them for 6 weeks a year, but they see them as 2, 3, 4, 5 year players. The BBL is another one, very, very strong on this. The Blast in England is a little bit different because, of course, that's connected with counties, so the players just flip between the two. The 100, as you quite rightly say, will bring in players, and how they're picked is going to be interesting. But look at the Mumbai Indians side that won the 2019 IPL. 9 of the 11 players that won it last year are the same 9 players that won it today. Now, that's obviously going to pay off hugely when you come up against a team like Delhi Capitals who've never played in a final. The two players that didn't play today, well, one of them you've already mentioned, Chahar. His figures from a year ago, by the way, a year and a half ago, 4 overs, no maidens, 1 for 14. So thanks a lot. The other one is Mitchell McLenaghan, who you may mention. He's in the squad, didn't play today. His place is taken by Trent Bolt. Now, both New Zealanders, but apart from that, there's not too much. There's not too many similarities between the style of bowlers. But it just shows, doesn't it? They have a long-term plan in place, Mumbai Indians, and you've got to say it's absolutely paid off, not just today, but last year as well.
On any ground in the world, Kil Rahul has been saying if I hit it that far, I should have more than 6.
Brilliance from the left-hander from the Delhi Capitals. Shikhar Dhawan post back-to-back hundreds.
High and 6. And the innings is finished by Hardik Pandya.
Bowling straight through Warner, swing and a miss. Archer cleans him up at 146 kilometres per hour.
Jasprit Bumrah has nailed the yorker. What a bowler. Yeah. Oh, what a start. Yeah. Has Kaki Sorabana just taken the Capitals to the final?
It is TalkSport 2. It is the IPL show, our cricket collective special, as we've been bringing you the latter stages of the IPL final today. The Mumbai Indians are victorious for the tournament in the fifth time, and the first time back-to-back for them. We've been telling you for virtually the last hour we're going to be picking out teams of the tournament. Steve Harmison's been working on his for hours, and I've now just worked out why, because he's just sent me a WhatsApp picture. He's picked two teams. He's also picked a could-do-better 11. So, blimey, OK, this is going to take a while to get through. So, gentlemen, we will be picking our team of the tournament. So, what we shall do is, shall we start with our openers? So, Steve Harmison, in your team of the tournament, give me your openers.
My two openers are KL Rahul and Shikhar Dhawan. I think I probably had three others that I could possibly pick. Bear in mind, you've got to pick a team with four overseas players, because that's the rule, what you've got.
It's also 11 in a side, but apparently that was a struggle for you.
11 in a side, and you've got four overseas, exactly what the IPL says. So, could have gone for Padikkal, who I thought just petered out a little bit, Quentin de Kock or David Warner, but I went for KL Rahul. 670 runs, an average of 55, and Shikhar Dhawan, two back-to-back hundreds, four half-centuries in 16 games. Got to the final with Delhi, 603 runs in 16 games. I thought Shikhar Dhawan deserved to be in there. So Rahul and Dhawan are my two openers.
OK, John, your openers are?
Yeah, I've done the same. KL Rahul and Shikhar Dhawan. And look, everybody wants to be an opener these days, don't they? And it seems to me to be the place that all the kids are growing up learning how to play as well. So, you know, to actually have a place at the top of the order, you've not only got to be good, you've got to be consistently good. And if you look at KL Rahul, if you look at Shikhar Dhawan, and even David Warner, who I did toy with putting in there, it's they're no flash in the pans. You only have to look back at the last two, three, four IPL tournaments to see that they are always up there. So consistency, check. Experience, check. And have they weighed in with the runs? Check. So it's a real tough one. But yeah, KL Rahul and Shikhar Dhawan too, of course. Two players, this is a fascinating thing with the sport we love, who absolutely nail it in the IPL. They nail it in 50 over cricket, but both have been found out in the longer format of the game, playing for India.
Absolutely. I went KL Rahul and Harmy mentioned him, Devdutt Padikkal. Just for the simple fact of someone new on the scene, came in and delivered. Didn't know anything about him before really this tournament, but he's certainly one to watch going forward. Right, so those are the openers. Now take me through your engine room then, Harmy. Your batsman. Let's go 3, 4, 5.
I've gone Shurikumar Yadav at number three. I think he's been a breath of fresh air for India. I think he's been unlucky not to go to Australia. Looking at Rohit Sharma, Mumbai Indians, Rohit Sharma hasn't had the greatest of tournaments bar the final. And I think the two men in the middle order for Mumbai have done brilliantly well. So I've gone Yadav at three. I've gone AB de Villiers, one of my overseas, keeping wicket at number four. Could have gone Quentin de Kock, but I didn't want too many Mumbai players in there, so I've gone with de Villiers, and I've gone for Ishant Kishan, who I think has been absolutely brilliant. He was at the end of there, at the final, 13 games, 483 runs, consistent, four half centuries, an average of 53, top score of 99. So there's my three: Yadav from Mumbai, RCB's AB de Villiers, and Ishant Kishan from Mumbai.
John Norman, TalkSport cricket editor, your engine room then.
Well, I don't know what's going on here. And look, we have shared our teams around, but again, I'm with Harmy. If in answer to the question who makes your IPL 11, the answer doesn't involve AB de Villiers, then you don't understand the question.
No.
He's in there. Yeah. He can be your wicketkeeper, he can be an opener, he can be a number three. Hell, he could probably bowl a little bit of spin as well. He's just one of those players that if you like, well, entertaining. If you like cricket, you want to see him play. And you can't see him do that in any other tournament. He's going to be sitting out the Big Bash in a couple of months. There is a whisper that he's going to be back, though, for the World T20. It won't come soon enough for him to play against England. I think he's got to play a little bit of domestic cricket before he's welcomed back to the South African side. But you've got to get AB de Villiers in there. And at times this year, he showed that he's lost none of his touch. Alongside him, Yadav, as you say, you know, I mentioned about the consistency of the openers. Now, Yadav is a player that for the first 4 or 5 years of his career as an IPL player, you know, he struggled. But the last 3 years have seen exactly what he's capable of. Back-to-back winners. You know, he's got a two-time IPL winner in the last couple of years. So he's in there. And, you know, Ishan Kishan as well. He's one of those players that we were commentating on 3 or 4 years ago, wasn't he, guys? Mm. And again, he's just a wonderful touch player. He was there at the end today. So, yeah, I mean, India's just blessed with middle-order batsmen. You only have to look at the Delhi Capitals and Mumbai Indians teams to see that. So, yeah, they're my three in the engine room, as you describe it, Macca.
OK, well, typical me. I've been perverse and I've gone slightly different. I'm not sure which order they're going to bat in, so I'll just give you three names. Virat Kohli. I can't believe that he's not got a mention before now, so I'm throwing Virat in. I'm also having Shubman Gill. I like the look of him at KKR. I think he's doing a cracking job. And I have had to leave AB de Villiers out of my team.
We don't understand the question. And you are.
But no, for a reason that involves questions, I've had to include Benjamin Stokes, because if Benjamin Stokes had been available for the Rajasthan Royals throughout the tournament, where would they have been? And there's a very good chance that I'm going to have to talk to him at some point in India in a few weeks to come, so I need to keep him on side. So Benjamin Stokes gets the nod for me.
Who's your captain, Macca?
That's a very good question. I haven't actually decided.
Well, it's Kohli, isn't it? It's got to be Kohli.
It's
going
to have to be, isn't it? Yeah.
And he's been a captain for 8 years and has never won an IPL.
Yeah. That's for me. It's baffling how RCB get into that position. You mentioned it before, the franchises and having a structure towards what you're trying to do and not play it off the hoof. And I think for me, RCB are the biggest ones, the biggest culprits of not having a 4-year plan or a 3-year plan. It's literally, let's get four of the big hitters in, stick them at the top of the order, and hopefully we can score 20 more runs than anybody in the opposition. Well, it doesn't always work like that. And I think because of the batters they've got in there, Kohli especially with de Villiers and Finch, you know, that weakens their bowling. And I think that's why Kohli hasn't gotten in my team, because he's not won anything really in the IPL. They only finished fourth for the first time in a few years. So for me, they've underachieved.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns. Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Very good afternoon to you. It is the Cricket Collective on Talk Sport 2. We've been watching along the IPL final for 2020, the Mumbai Indians victorious. Steve Harmison and John Norman with myself, Andrew McKenna, and we're with you for another half an hour, and we're still picking our teams of the tournament. A lot of the names are pretty similar throughout, so let's get to the lower middle order gentlemen at this point. I guess we're talking all-rounders here, and we're probably talking numbers 6, 7 and maybe number 8. So, Harmy, where are you looking at this part of your team?
Yeah, I tried to get Kieran, but I just, in the end, I had to go with Marcus Stoinis. I think one of the big reasons Delhi Capitals have gotten to the IPL final is largely down to the way Marcus Stoinis has played early, especially early tournament, and then, you know, the last couple of games, 16 games, 352 runs and 12 wickets. I think their numbers from an all-rounder point of view says it all. So this is the one I really struggled with, was number seven, finding a number seven. I nearly chucked Sam Curran in because I thought Sam Curran's done a great job for Chennai, but he's never really been. He's been higher up the order than that. And this guy, another one who's been higher up the order, he batted six today in the final, but he has batted at seven, and that's Hartik Pandya, who hasn't bowled in the tournament because of his back, but he got 60 off about 20-odd balls, 13 games, 278 runs. For me, Hartik Pandya, again, devastating at the bottom end. He's hit 25 sixes in his IPL. And number eight, probably the second, third best bowler in the tournament, and that is the Englishman Jofra Archer. So my 6, 7, and 8 is Marcus Stoinis, Hartik Pandya, and Jofra Archer, because I think Archer's been, again, like Curran with Chennai, I think Archer's been, you know, one of the only positives out of the Rajasthan franchise, and fantastic signs for England if Jofra can bring that back to wearing the Three Lions.
So, John Norman, your all-rounders then?
Yeah, slightly different, thankfully, from Harmy. I also go with Kieran Pollard. I mean, as I was saying earlier in the show, strike rate of 192. And when you look at where international T20 is, then really you don't look much further than the kind of game that the West Indies are putting together. This is about scoring sixes, this game. And we saw that the last time a World T20 took place, back in 2016. We know what happened in that final over. Essentially, West Indies put out a team where, on average, every single one of those batsmen will score 1 6 per six or seven deliveries. And in the case of Andre Russell, you can bring that down to a six every five balls. Now, he's had his injury problems in this tournament and throughout his career in the last couple of years. Kieran Pollard is cut from the same cloth. You just got to get him in your side. Certainly for me, in a sport that draws the biggest hitters, he's still one who stands out. And so he makes my side. Hardik Pandya is in there as well, because when you add the bowling, and we didn't see that this year, as Steve said, then he's an all-round package again. You know, he was perhaps over-promoted by India earlier on in his career in the longer form, but in the shorter form, he's an absolute go-to man. Does Jofra Archer tick the all-rounder box? Well, he certainly brought to his game a strike rate that suggests that, you know, when he was growing up in Barbados, he was also part of the hit a six every six balls as well. He's been a revelation again in this tournament. He's played the game brilliantly, whether batting or bowling, stood out amidst a real disjointed and misfiring Rajasthan side. So for me, when you're making the makeup or working out the makeup of your attack, you do have to get some variety in there, I think. It comes out between Archer and Rabada for me, and Archer just shades it.
I go Pandya as well. I've got Archer in at eight, and in between them, I've got Rahul Tewatia. And the reason I've got Rahul Tewatia is basically down to one match, and you know which one I'm talking about. The one where he was playing so badly that the TV commentators were just calling on him to get himself out, put himself out of his misery, and then actually give the team a chance of winning. And then he started middling them and put it all out of the ground, and he won inside the game. And frankly, that would be one of my moments of this year's IPL. So I had to get Rahul Tewatia into to my side just for that reason alone. Right then, we're nearly there. 9-10 Jack. So Steve Harmison, where are you looking?
Yeah, just before that, I want to mention just one thing. John was mentioned on Jofra Archer. Jofra Archer hit 10 sixes in this tournament. That's one less than Virat Kohli. Exactly the same as Yadav. And two less than Shikhar Dhawan. So, you know, he was decent with a bat as well when his team needed him, because his team needed him. When you mentioned Tewatia, his team, Jofra Archer, Rajasthan needed Jofra Archer just as much with the bat as they did with the ball. So I'm going 9-10 Jack. I'm going with Kagiso Rabada, as my second, fourth and final overseas player. I think he's been magnificent. Varun Chakravarti as my spinner.
Oh, what a story.
Because I think the story, the way he's played, he's now going to Australia. I think it's fantastic. And the number 11 is, he picks himself. You know, you asked the question yesterday, Mark, and I struggled to get the answer because of how good these two guys have been. I had to get them both on my team. And I said Jasprit Bumrah was probably the best all-round, all-format bowler in the world at this minute in time. So number 9, Gagisa Rabada. Number 10, Varun Chakravarti. And number 11, Jasprit Bumrah.
So, John Norman, to complete your side, you've gone for?
I've gone for Rashid Khan, the old classic, really. Again, dependability. He's been there, done it, and just such an exciting, even now, he's an exciting talent to watch. Jasprit Bumrah, how can you not pick him? You know what? I was watching the test, which chronicled Australia's journey from sandpaper gate through to the Ashes draw in 2019. And there was a series that I kind of forgotten, actually, although I followed it at the time. And it was when they were coming up against India, Australia against India. And Jasprit Bumrah and Marcus Stoinis is one of the most straightforward and honest cricketers you'll ever hear from. He just did not have a clue. Now, he was out first ball today, Stoinis, so he didn't have to come up against his adversary. But I saw it earlier on in the tournament again, when one bowler has got such command over the skills that Bumrah has, sometimes there are batsmen that just do not know what to do. And you see it time in, time out. So Bumrah's in there. And for me, just for a bit of variety, and because, of course, I do have a New Zealand leaning, and I did put his name down before today, guys. It's got to be Trent Bolt, who returned to haunt his old side today.
Who has just been named player of the tournament.
Well, there you go. He's in my side.
There you go, indeed. Devdutt Padikkal, by the way, was the emerging player of this year's tournament as well. It's been confirmed. So between us, we're picking up on the awards here. I went Rabada. I've also gone Norkia, purely on the grounds that I think he was largely a surprise in some respects. I don't think he would have had anywhere near the impact if we'd had an IPL in the subcontinent, but he found these pitches to his liking, and Norkia has definitely been a real emergence. We obviously got a really good look at him in the Test Series in South Africa last winter, and there's definitely something about him. And I've gone for Yuzvi Chahal as my spinner. I think he's too good not to have in and around, so I quite fancy him as well. So I think we've got some decent sides, all things considered. You certainly get a decent game of cricket if we put one up against the other. I don't know who would win, but frankly, that doesn't really matter. But I think we've done pretty well there. Are we all happy, or have we thought someone who we've desperately missed out on?
Your pick of Nokia, John, you might know more than me, but who did he replace? Because he wasn't the first pick in the Delhi Capital side, and I've been trying to rack my brains, and I can't think of who it was he replaced to get into this IPL this year.
That's a very good shout. Maka, say something and I'll try and work it out.
I can't remember.
I just Google fastest.
I just know he was a replacement for... But other options, I really struggled, Maka, with number 7. But I put Hartik Pandya in. I struggled with my spinner in picking. I had Chahal down. I also had Axar Patel down. I had him in there. His numbers aren't great, but he actually controlled the game very well for Delhi.
I've just found out who it is.
Chris Wokes.
I can't believe it's Chris Wokes.
Oh, yes,
I would
is.
Not that's know right. that. Oh, no,
exactly. Should have known that. But and the other Sorry, only other seamer who started really, really well, house on fire for the Kings 11, was the experienced Mohammad Shami, but he petered away a little bit. So they're the only other name I could throw into the hat. But Nokia, I think since we've seen them for first time in Pretoria, I think it was on Boxing Day, I'd be so impressed by that guy.
Well, I said to, I was speaking to Neil Manthorpe the other day about Norkia, and I was saying, describing on a show we were doing together about South African cricket as being a player who burst into the consciousness of England cricket fans in the series that you just mentioned, Steve. And Manners replied, well, he burst into the consciousness of South African cricket fans as well, because they hadn't heard much of him before. He did what he did. Was it really at the start of this year? It seems like a lifetime ago.
It does feel like a lifetime ago as well, and you know, fingers crossed in a short space of time, the England players and the South Africans go on together as a in a white ball competition. The two squads that have been picked, I think it's going to be a one humdinger of a series, because I think some of the England players will come away from this IPL full of confidence. Some will be desperate to get out there and get a game. And some of the South African players, you know, it's just a pity that you mentioned before, John, or Maka mentioned before, just a pity we're not going to see AB de Villiers against England, because that would have been brilliant. If we could get him against England and then go for the World T20, you know, how strong would South Africa be in that competition?
I think he will play in the World T20. I think it's just a timing thing. You know, it was a contentious time when AB de Villiers stepped away from South African cricket. And, of course, he dallied with only going playing 2020 cricket. He kind of made a suggestion he wanted to get back into the World T20. And the lot when it was originally going to be played... Oh, no, actually, it was the World Cup last year.
Yeah.
And they waited for him, you know, till almost 11th hour. It didn't happen. So, yeah, I think he's got to play a little bit of domestic cricket and then he'll be back.
Well, as Manners mentioned to us when we spoke to him a few weeks ago, Harmy, there was also the small matter of him keeping wicket, and apparently he couldn't do that because of his back. Well, it seemed to be all right for the last few weeks for the RCB. We did mention the England players there just a moment ago. We've been keeping an eye on them throughout the tournament, and in the final part of today's Cricket Collective IPL special, we will be taking a look at the performances of the Englishmen in this year's tournament here on TalkSport 2.
A century to remember from one of the greatest contemporary cricketers, Ben Stokes.
And there's the answer from Butler. That's a fantastic shot again.
Bowled him straight through, Warner swinging a miss. Archer cleans him up at 146 kilometres per hour.
Oh, he's given that a thump. What a way to go to 50 that is from Owen Morgan.
Chance, yes it is. Very good, Chris Jordan. Boy, has he got good hands.
Where Sam Curran likes it. He loves it there.
Oh, Best is taking the mickey now. He's just picking spots.
Some cracking performances from the English players in this year's IPL, and we've been discussing them for the last few weeks here on TalkSport 2. Steve Harmison and myself, Andrew McKenna. John Norman is with us today as well as we round things up. All things considered, you know, boys, I think the English performances have been pretty good this year if we look at with the bat. Owen Morgan, what, 418 runs at 41.8. Johnny Bairstow, 345 at just under 31.4. But, of course, he got edged out because of the overseas player rule. 328 runs in 12 innings for Joss Butler. Ben Stokes, 285 in 8 innings, so a 40.7 average for Stokes. And as we mentioned earlier, you can't help but wonder what the Rajasthan Royals would have done if he was available earlier in the tournament. Of course, he wasn't for very obvious and serious reasons. With the ball, well, we've already mentioned Jofra, 20 wickets at 18 and a quarter. Sam Curran, 13 at 26.5. Chris Jordan, 9 at 33.8. I was a bit surprised Tom Curran didn't get more of a look in, I have to say. 3 wickets in 5 innings, although unfortunately his numbers in black and white don't really look good, and sometimes that is more telling than the actual reality of it. 3 wickets at 69.3 with an economy rate of 11.4. So overall then, chaps, how do we rate the performance of the English players?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of the lads will come back relatively pleased. I thought Jofra Archer was absolutely outstanding. I thought he was up there with Rabada and Trent Bolt as the leading overseas players of the tournament. I thought Owen Morgan did brilliantly. He got dealt a difficult hand there, having to take over from Dinesh Kartik. For me, KKR will be in a good place if they name Owen Morgan as captain next year, if he goes back as captain. I thought Sam was a shining light in... The only positive with what was a poor CSK, CSK side and an aging side that looked exactly what they were. They struggled in the field. They struggled to get off the quick fast starts, and they didn't have the bowling attack to go with it. So I think Sam can be proud of the way he's done in his IPL tournament. I think Tom was just unlucky, a little bit like Johnny Bairstow. Tom will come back and think, well, I was going all right until Ben Stokes arrived, and he's got to play again, like the Sunrisers. You know, he's got no chance of playing. Same as Johnny. The minute Kane Williamson was fit from his hamstring injury, and Kane Williamson played, Johnny was going to be out of the team because they're never going to drop Warner. They were never going to drop Rashid Khan and hold a balance their side out. Well, Tom was in a similar boat. So in the disappointing one is Mo and Ali didn't get enough of a crack. Tom Banton, the same, didn't get enough of a crack. And for me, John Norman mentioned before, you know, the question about AB de Villiers. It's not a question when you're talking about T20 and AB de Villiers, but who are, I think the same person who didn't pick AB de Villiers in their best 11 is the same person who thought Joss Butler should bat at number 5, because that is ludicrous for me. Joss Butler should not be batting any lower than 4 in a T20 side, and I think 4 is still too low for somebody like Joss. I think we've seen at the top of the order, he's devastating, and that was probably the thing with the English side. The other one was the only other one that was involved was Chris Jordan, who I thought, again, I'm not sure King's 11 knew what to do with their overseas sort of four-man team to get him into the side, because when he played, he did well, but he didn't play that many matches for the King's 11.
Yeah, absolutely. John, throwing it forward to next year, I mean, Harmy and I spoke about this yesterday, so I'd just be interested to get your thoughts. Obviously, I think Jason Roy will come into some thoughts next year. Chris Wokes will be gutted to have missed this year's tournament. Hard, fast, bouncy wickets, and nice wickets to try and plonk it out of the park in. Yet next year, he'll be presumably heading back to India and might find it a little bit tougher. But the interesting one is Joe Root. We know he's desperate to play T20 cricket. At the moment, he can't get a look in for England. It might be that the IPL gets him an opportunity to show around the world that actually he can do it, and it might be that is the opportunity for Joe Root to bizarrely get himself a spot in the England side as a result of playing in the IPL.
Yeah, if it wasn't for an Ashes series at the end of next year, which essentially is going to, in all likelihood, be his last foray in international captaincy if he loses, then maybe. I just think with the amount of cricket that England have got to play next year, and if they do play 5 tests against India, which is unlikely, I think it's more likely to be 4. You've got 2 tests against Sri Lanka in January, 4 tests then against India. You've got a full summer of international cricket with 5 tests against India if they come over, plus Sri Lanka and Pakistan playing 50-over cricket. You've got an Ashes series away. I think that Joe Root would be better served just saying, do you know what, I'll allow it for a year. Concentrate on the Ashes and long-form cricket, because that is where his reputation as England captain is going to rest. I don't think 6 weeks potentially sitting on the sidelines in India is going to suit him, his body, his mentality, or the England cricket team. So I think Joe needs to, if he is offered a gig, because he's put himself forward for teams in the past and he's never been picked up, I think Joe would be better served representing England for the next 12 months and then seeing where he is.
Where do you think he would fit in? Because I think he would fit in perfectly in between de Villiers and Kohli, if Kohli opened a batting for RCB, and give them that Kane Williamson style structure to bat around in that sort of powerful batting unit. I think Joe Root would be perfect for the IPL. I agree with what you're saying. I think he could put England first, but I think if he's offered it,
because he'll be crocked, he'll be knackered. Because look, if Joe Root plays in the IPL and the World T20, if he does, as Macca says, force his way back into the England side via the IPL, the guy is going to be playing 10 to 11 months of cricket before going to Australia. Something has to give.
So is Jofra Archer, so is Ben Stokes, so is Butler. So,
well, hang on.
I know he's got the captaincy to go with it, but...
Well, that, and the captaincy is a massive thing. Yeah. Ben Stokes, for reasons that we know, has had a little bit of an enforced absence. Jofra Archer's taken the big bash off, and you're going to see some kind of squad rotation as well. There's no way with the amount. Do you know, Tim Wigmore wrote a piece in the Daily Telegraph, it's Nick Holt actually in the Daily Telegraph. If England play all the cricket that they are supposed to play in 2020, I think it works out as 127 days of cricket. So you cannot be playing a 6-week IPL on top of that, as well as a World that includes a World T20. But something's got to give. So, yes, of course, Joe, I can see Joe Root. Joe Root played one of the best T20 innings I've ever seen for England against South Africa in 2016. When being faced with being knocked out, they hadn't chased down 220. They would have been exited the tournament, and he scored 80-odd of the best runs, or some of the best runs I've seen in a chase. Three beautiful innings. He can, of course, if Owen Morgan can play a role in an IPL side, and Owen Morgan hasn't been particularly consistent over the last few years in IPL cricket, certainly Joe Root can as well.
Right, we've dealt with an awful lot of issues over the last few weeks, but I think it's right that we've left the most serious and most important till last. Over the last couple of days, I've been reading the excellent Tales from the Front Line, the autobiography of the Notts bowler, Luke Fletcher. Now, in it, he tells a story about... He's a big lad, and therefore prone, shall we say, to perspiring a little. And he told a story that one umpire on the first-class circuit actually refused to take his cap from him during a game because it was so rank. And what he actually used to do was sort of take a little Ziploc bag with him out, the umpire, and said he simply held out this bag for Fletch to put his cap into, Ziploc the bag, and then put it into his pocket for the over while he was bowling. And the story is, Fletch says, He says, on the county circuit, he is renowned for having the second worst cricket hat on the circuit. Everyone accepts that. The undisputed number one was Steve Harmison. Harmison, how do you plead?
Yes, I plead guilty. I had the worst hat. But to be fair, I think I had the same hat. The same hat for about 40-odd test matches for England, as well as for Durham. I used to wear the same hat all the time, not like some people who would lose their things. And it meant a lot to me to wear the same piece of material that I was given the very first time I represented my club or my country. So, in fairness, that is my defence. It actually got worse as my career got on. Not that I was a bigger sweater, I just got bigger as a person. So can you imagine what Goffey's must have been like by the time he finished playing? So, but no, yes, I did. I'm guilty as charged. I did have that hat. And do you know where them hats are now, Macca? John?
Hopefully a long, long way away.
No, they're not. They were made into golf club head covers because instead of being in the bottom of a drawer, I play golf four or five times a week. So I got them made into the same size as my head covers for my driver and my 3-wood and my rescue wood. And I now see them every single day I play golf because that's how much them caps mean to me.
It is a beautiful image and it's a beautiful way to end our coverage of the IPL 2020. Harmy, thank you very much for the last few weeks. It's been
absolutely pleasure, Macca. Brilliant.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.